Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Man, there is just a lot going on around the country. We're going to get to the very latest involving Dr. Anthony Fauci, holding him in contempt of Congress. Some Republicans now pushing back on that. No surprise there at all. And, of course, today in Tennessee, a major election, a lot riding on this election as the Republicans stand poised to gain an additional seat in the House of Representatives, which is going to be great. Brent Taylor, the state senator, pretty much kicking butt across the board, and will be the next congressman from the 9th Congressional District, which, by the way, happens to be the district that was once represented by none other than Davy Crockett. So there you go. So we'll talk more about that. We've got exclusive interviews coming up with Senator Marsha Blackburn and Monty Fritz. Also, Angie Wong is going to be along, our good friend from Miami, weighing in on the latest involving the Michigan race, which is incredibly disturbing. President Trump weighing in on that. And Steve Gill is here, and also our good buddy Caleb Park, who is going to be joining us for a weekly segment called The Good Report with Caleb Park, talking about some of the good things that are happening all over the nation, as well as some of the weird stuff as well. We're also going to be taking your calls, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Wow, this morning, it started out, it has been a busy morning. Was on with our good friend Larry O'Connor, who's a radio host, WMAL, out of Washington, D.C., and had me on talking about the Tennessee race and also the new book coming out, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, and just had a terrific time, a terrific conversation. And the first thing O'Connor said is, you've got to invite me to Memphis, Starnes. I hear it is a great town, and it is a great town, thanks, quite frankly, to President Trump sitting in the National Guard and sitting in the Memphis Safe Task Force. Crime here is like cut in half, and it's great. And yeah, people are getting shot. Yeah, I get that, but it's happening in the bad parts of town. So you're safe if you're in the good parts of town, and you're pretty much safe if you're in the downtown area. By the way, there was like a huge duck festival, a duck convention, Ducks Unlimited. And they had a historic, I mean, thousands of people in downtown Memphis, and they were, you know, duck hunters. So that was a good thing. I want to start out today with a story, and this is just weird. And it illustrates a point that I wrote about in the Golden Age. There is a high school, Derby High School in Kansas, and we have a lot of Kansas listeners. We have a lot of radio stations in Kansas that carry the show. And Derby is in the news, and it's a weird story. So the high school yearbook just came out. And I don't know about you guys back when, Dylan, did you guys have like a physical copy of the yearbook when you were in school?
Oh, yes, we did.
You know, it's like the thing. You always want to make sure, you know, you're in the yearbook, mm-hmm. and you go through and you count how many times, and that's, you know, you're in the yearbook, and yes. That's how you know your social status.
Yes, Todd. Thank you. That is so good. I thought I was the only one that did that because I was looking for myself multiple times. Yeah. Wow.
So Derby is, I think it's outside of Wichita. So I'm sure Dalton Glasscock will know all about that. But it's not a big town. It's a suburb, a southern suburb of Wichita, and they have about 25,000 people. So it's a big suburb. And so anyway, they have this high school yearbook, and you know how it is with high school yearbooks. You got the class photos, so everybody's got their picture. I used to hate those days. But I got to tell you, I took some pretty good pictures back in the day, Dylan. I'm just telling you, I look pretty good.
Pretty snazzy?
I was not too keen. I think my freshman year, I had that was when all the guys were wearing the hair feathered right down the middle. And so I literally, that was not a good look for me.
Well, it's okay. It's an acquired taste.
My sophomore year was worse. So I was in the school musical and I played an old person. And so they put all this makeup, this old people makeup. And we had our cast party at the Catholic parish, like fellowship hall. And it had an old gas oven. And I guess the gas built up. And I just happened to be standing in front of it when the gas blew out. And there was like a huge blast.
Oh, no.
Nobody got injured except for me. And it blew off all the facial hair that I had, including my eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened on a Friday night. On Monday, we had school pictures, and that was my sophomore photograph. I have no eyebrows.
Oh, no. You didn't even get them penciled in. Nothing.
No, you couldn't. It was not And, well, I also looked like I looked like a lobster because my face got flash burned.
Golly.
It was terrible, except where my glasses were. So I really look like, you know, a freak of nature.
You know, I have to try to find that somewhere, right?
It's terrible.
That can't just live in my mind.
And it blew all my hair back and singed it together. Like I was like one of those little, you know, those pencils with the little trolls on it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you roll it together in your hands like that?
Uh-huh.
That's what my hair looked like.
That's what they should have labeled you in the yearbook. This is a Todd Starnes.
Todd Troll.
This is a troll.
Troll Starnes. So anyway, you know, you have all that kind of stuff in your yearbook, right? And, you know, the senior superlatives. I was most talented, by the way.
I was friendliest.
Were you really?
Yes.
I believe that.
Well, I believe you're most talented.
I believe that. They had me playing a piano, and they had some other chick. I can't remember her name. No, her name was Lynette. How did I just remember that? Her name is Lynette, and she was, like, posed seductively on top of the upright piano.
Oh, wow. For high school.
Mm-hmm. For high school. Yeah.
Interesting.
We're a little progressive.
Wait, what did she get? What was her?
She was most talented, too. So we always did male and female, senior superlatives. And so you count. So it's all about just documenting the school year. Well, at Derby High School, their yearbook was filled with all sorts of inappropriate material. They had one student depicted as a drag queen. It was a teenage boy, and he was wearing like a leopard print top and black fishnet stockings. There were articles attacking Charlie Kirk supporters. This is all in the yearbook, high school yearbook. There were quotes mocking people who love Jesus, who go to church. This is in Derby High School in Kansas. The heartland. There was also a full page attacking ICE agents for deporting all the illegal alien invaders. And of course, this goes without saying, of course, you know, there was a huge thing in there talking about how awful President Trump is. They call the president the worst president in American history. It's in the high school yearbook. And it makes you wonder, because back when we were in school, it was like, okay, most likely to succeed. Here it's like most likely to become an Antifa terrorist. I mean, what's going on here? How did this happen? It's almost as if the school district hired the staff of the New York Times, Washington Post, and Vanity Fair and said, would you mind coming in and producing our high school yearbook? It is not a yearbook. It's a piece of propaganda. It's anti-America propaganda at a high school in the middle of the heartland. And the thing is, this is nothing new. It's not some sort of an anomaly. We're dealing with these kinds of issues at public schools across the nation. And this is one of the reasons why I wrote The Golden Age, was because as much as President Trump has done for this nation, we have so much more work to do. And I wrote a chapter in the book, and the theme of the book is, for example, how Trump saved common sense, how Trump saved my hometown, how Trump saved our schools. That's like chapter 3 of my book, page 35. And we talk about how the president has stepped in, and he's started the process of getting rid of all of this radical propaganda. But this is going to be a long-term project. And it's going to require all of us standing together and working together to reclaim our public schools. Now, one of the ways we can do that, and the president promised that he was going to dismantle and defund and abolish the Department of Education. I hope he delivers on that promise, because we have got to have this local control of our schools to stop these radical propagandists from filling our kids with all sorts of crazy notions. Now, when I see this, and let me just say, when I see these kinds of yearbooks, it's concerning, because these are symptoms. These are signs. This is the canary in the minefield, right? This is in the coal mine, rather, not the minefield, and it'll blow up the canary. There'll be little feathers all over the mine. No, the canary in the mine, in the coal mine. Right? These are warning signs that something is not right. Something is off. And some of you, I go, Starnes, they're just a bunch of kids. They're just a bunch of stupid teenagers. They don't know anything. It's just a yearbook. No, it's not. Because these yearbooks, they have advisors. They have teachers that oversee all of this. They have administrators who approve all of the copy. And that tells me that a lot of people in Derby, Kansas, signed off on this. A lot of grown-ups signed off on this. You say, well, Todd, what does this have to do with anything outside of Derby, Kansas? Well, it has everything to do with this. Because just a couple of days ago, on this program, we told you about Abdul El-Sayed, the guy who is poised to become the next United States Senator from the great state of Michigan. And we now know that a lot of the support this guy had, El-Sayed, actually came not from blue-collar workers, but from young professionals, young voters, college towns. That's where the numbers swelled in support of a guy who thinks America is racist and pals around with people who say that 9/11 was our fault, that we our behavior led to what happened on 9/11. That tells me that these kids are being indoctrinated, and they're coming out of these schools, and many of them are believing that America is an evil place, and that capitalism is evil, and that all of these things have to be eradicated. And for too long, we have had this mentality of, well, it's a student newspaper. It's a school yearbook. What's the big deal? No, it is a big deal, because they're telling us what they're learning. Do you really think, just hear me on this, do you really think that the average family in Derby, Kansas is sitting around the dinner table? They're eating their, whatever they eat there, pork loins. They're eating their pork loins there in Derby around the dinner table, talking about, son, what do you think about those ICE agents? I don't think they're having those conversations, but I do think they're having them in school. I sure do. You think the construction worker, the big burly construction worker wearing the flannel shirt and the blue jeans, coming home from work, putting his hard hat down and sitting around the table with the kids and the wife and his teenage boy there, what we'll call him Carl Jr., and Carl Jr.'s showing up at the dinner table wearing fishnet stockings, you think Dad's okay with that? I don't think so. Think old Carl Jr.'s taking you think Carl Sr.'s taking Carl Jr. down to, Rotary Club? Boys, I want you to meet Carl Jr. He's got a run in his stockings, but he's a fine boy. I don't think so. I don't think so, America. So all that to say, this is happening in schools. And many of you moms and dads are so busy with your own life. You're doing so much stuff that the priority in your life is not your kids and what they're actually learning in these schools. And so they graduate and they leave you. And when they come back from college, your daughters, they put on 40, 50 pounds. They're wearing, the flip-flops, and they got the magenta hair and the nose rings, and, they don't even know their pronouns anymore. And this is why I wrote The Golden Age, because we gotta talk about these things, and we gotta do something about it. And chapter 3 explains how we do that. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very concerned about the direction of this country, because soon there will be more of those kinds of people voting than people like you and me. And we've got to do something about that, because these Democrat socialists are slap nuts crazy. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You can get a copy, by the way, of The Golden Age wherever you buy your books. This is The Todd Stern Show.
Half a century later, Watergate still shapes how Americans view power, scandal, and trust. This weekend, the America 250 film series presents Watergate Secrets and Betrayals. Revisit the investigation through archival footage, interviews, and new arguments about what happened. Watch Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, when it comes to Anthony Fauci, and again, the problem with Republicans is that they don't want to do what needs to be done, right? And I don't know if it's is it a case of lily liveredness that may very well be the issue here. But for whatever reason, they really don't want to punish people who have done bad things. And that bothers me. It bothers me a lot. Now, I know that, for example, there are some Republicans that are not too sure that they're going to vote to hold Fauci in contempt of Congress. Now, Josh Hawley is not one of them. He said his office has already drafted a memo to the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, urging him to pursue a criminal contempt case against Fauci. I want to go back to Steve Bannon, for example. And Steve Bannon was held in contempt of Congress. The Democrats did. And you know what? The Biden Justice Department sent Bannon to prison for 4 months because Bannon refused to comply. Bannon refused to comply. He refused to testify. They found him in contempt. Same thing happened to Peter Navarro. 4 months in federal prison. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say this about the Republicans, and maybe you disagree with this idea here, but here goes. If we're not going to start holding these people accountable, stop holding the hearings. Just stop holding, because it's wasting time, it's wasting taxpayer money, and it's just aggravating the base of the party. I want to know, why is it that we're over 2 years into the Trump administration and nobody's been held accountable for anything? Russia, 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 the collusion hoax, nothing. And I think at some point the voters of the Republican Party are just going to just turn away and just walk away. So I'm wondering if we are just better off if they are not going to hold these people accountable, just stop holding the hearings. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, get yourself a copy of The Golden Age. It will be in bookstores. We launch the book officially August 11th on Tuesday. We're going to be doing a lot of big events around the country. We're going to tell you all about those. Hang tight, everybody. Monty Fritz wants to be the next governor of Tennessee. He joins us next.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Odyssey has shaped Western imagination. It tells the story of Odysseus as he faces monsters, shipwrecks, false comforts, and impossible choices on his long journey home. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, Homer's epic is more than a mythology. It explores permanent questions about courage, duty, loyalty, family, leadership, temptation, and the search for home. In one of the epic's defining moments, Odysseus rejects the offer of immortality from the goddess Calypso, choosing instead the long and difficult journey home. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Odyssey – that a life of duty, family, and home is greater than a life devoted to comfort or glory. Achilles chose glory. Odysseus chose home. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Odyssey. Taught by Professor Benedict Whalen, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Find this free course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Read the classics. Study the West. The Odyssey from Hillsdale College. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com.
All right. Coming up this Sunday, I'll be in the Los Angeles area. I'll be speaking at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. All three services. Our good friend Jack Hibbs is the pastor there. We'll be signing copies of the Golden Age immediately after all three services. We would love for you to come down and be a part of the services, worship with us. Then this coming Sunday night, we'll be at Lancaster Baptist Church in the Antelope Valley. That's the high desert there in northern Los Angeles County. Then back to Memphis for book launch day on Tuesday. So gearing up, a lot of big events coming up as we celebrate the launch of the Golden Age. Well, right now, though, it is election day in the volunteer state, and there is a lot riding on today's election. One of those individuals running to be the next governor, a very busy, crowded Republican primary, three candidates, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman John Rose, and our next guest, State Representative Monty Fritz. Monty joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Monty, where are you and what are you doing right now?
Well, I'm in Kingston. Good morning, Memphis, and good morning, Todd. Thank you. I'm in Kingston, Tennessee right now. We're delivering some drinks to some of the folks that are holding up Fritz signs around the districts here in East Tennessee and shaking a few last few hands. And do me a favor, when you see Pastor Hibbs, tell him I have been scheduled twice to try to go out and take him a copy of our prayer resolution. If you'll remember, in 2024, when we called Tennessee into a month of fasting and prayer, Pastor Hibbs had his church wearing orange so that they would remember to pray with Tennessee, and tell him how much I appreciate and love him for that.
You know what? I will definitely do that, and I'll mention that in my remarks on Sunday. You know, Monty, it's been interesting. You have not been one to shy away from your faith. As a matter of fact, you've made that really a central component of your race. They're saying that you're the underdog in the race, but I think you're actually winning the social media side of the contest.
I think so too. I think we're winning, and I expect to win tonight, Todd. I know that shocks people to hear that, but when people have been asked after they vote, who did they vote for? We had one of the young ladies there in Memphis had asked some of those questions, and we took the great majority of the votes.
Why do you say that, Monty? Because when you look at the polling data that's out there, when you look at the amount of money that's been raised, I mean, in all honesty, you if you take a look at how little you have raised, and the fact that you don't have that massive platform like a Senator Blackburn or a Congressman John Rose, and yet you are being mentioned as a contender. Why do you think that is?
I'd offer two words, but God, we were called to do this. He is able. If we do win tonight, it won't be the hard work of all the hundreds of people who volunteered. It will be a miracle. I still believe he splits the Red Sea. And if this happens tonight, it will be that the Lord God Almighty has shown grace to the country boy from Kingston and put him in front of this. And if I don't win electorally, if that's his will, we've got to say Christ is King across the state of Tennessee and that the Constitution is law. So I think in that regard, we've already won.
No, it's really been remarkable to see the grassroots rising up really across the volunteer state and embracing your message. And your campaign funded by Tennesseans. You haven't taken any outside money, have you?
No, I think we had one check come from Alaska, but I think he was maybe another one or two. But they were like military members or something that sent a few dollars in, and we appreciate that. But yeah, we've raised somewhere shy of $350,000, and I think John and Marsha are probably going to spend a combined $25 to $35 million.
Wow.
And,
What does that tell you? What does that tell you about the race then?
It tells me that there's too much money in politics. There's too much out-of-state money in politics. And we've allowed it to become something that is a donor class sport rather than a service to the people. You know, I've said this many times. I think that both the other candidates, I love them, I wish them the best, but they did a great injustice by not being willing to debate and take questions and then rebut answers together. I think that they, and I realize Senator Blackburn has great name recognition, but Congressman Rose, I think he stabbed himself in the foot when he said, I'll debate, and then he backed out. And now he's calling for Senator Blackburn to debate somebody before the general. I said this, and I say it with tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. Is it that John only wants to debate women? Because he had an opportunity to debate a man multiple times, and he declined.
That is interesting, right? Because he did, and I asked him on this program, I said, would you be willing to debate Monty Fritz? And he said, no, absolutely not. But now he is willing to debate, if he's the nominee, or he will debate the Democrat in the race. Her name is Jerry Green. I have been a strong proponent. I'm with you. I like all three of you guys. I think you're great. All three of you are great Americans in my book. But it really bothers me that you're the only one that's willing to debate, and that's a problem.
Well, I think so, too. I think that it's an indication of a timidity of spirit, a fear of confronting things. And I think a lot of Tennesseans are looking for somebody who will confront issues, and many people will disagree on some of the positions that I take, but I most often hear from them, at least I know where you stand, Monty. You don't beat around the bush and kind of mealy-mouth things like some of these career DC politicians do.
So you are somewhat, and I don't want to elevate you to prophet status, but you are somewhat prophetic in your approach to Islam, and I want to get to the controversy some of your comments caused in just a minute. But yesterday on this program, we were talking about what was happening in McKinney, Texas. Hundreds of people turning out to a city council meeting enraged over the creation of a massive mega mosque and a Muslim-centric community there. City leaders completely ignored the hundreds of people that turned out and approved that project. Same thing is happening in Mooresville, North Carolina at this very moment. They had more than 500 people turning out there to oppose a mosque development in North Carolina. And then we all saw what happened in Michigan with the election of Abdul Al-Sayed as the Democrat nominee for the Senate coming out of Michigan. State Representative Fritz, we are looking at the rise of Islam. How concerned are you about that? What are you hearing from Tennesseans, and what would you do about that if you're elected governor?
Most of the Tennesseans agree with me that the Islamization of the state, not the Muslim person, the person, Christ died for all of us. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's whether you grew up in a Baptist church or some synagogue or some temple or some mosque, wherever. He wants us to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But the movement of Islam, it is a political movement designed to force us into their political system at the point of a spear or the end of a rifle. I will not tolerate it. I've called on Governor Lee to declare the Council for American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Brotherhood as enemies, as foreign terrorists. I think that's one of the first things I'll do as governor, because that opens the avenue to start exploring the funding. We heard here in East Tennessee that was Muslim Voting Day in Memphis last week, and we heard that they provided interpreters for Arabic, another language, and French so that folks could vote. I got to tell you, Todd, I'm asking the question in my mind, many Tennesseans are, if you're a citizen and you're able to vote, why the heck do you need an interpreter to understand the ballot? That's problematic for me. This is a movement. Again, I love the people, but I hate the sin. Islam is a sin. And it is a movement that is designed to overtake our United States. We have been colonized in New York City, in Minneapolis, in Dearborn, Michigan, in many places in Texas. I refuse to sit idly by, like most of these weak males in politics have done, and not speak up against it. It disappoints me greatly that Congressman Rose has backed away from that issue. As a Christian, I'll say this later. It gets a little more maybe preachy. As a Christian, I think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by him. And I think with that view, I can only want to evangelize those who are lost and going to hell, and that includes the adherence to Islam. So I think it's time for us to be bold. I think Tennesseans are bold. There's an inscription on the Alvin C. York statue at the Capitol in Nashville, and it says, armed with his rifle and his pistol, his courage and his skill, this one Tennessean. And then it talks about what Alvin York accomplished in World War I. I think the people of Tennessee want a little spirit of York. They're sick of the spirit of Al Gore. They want a little Al York. So we hope to bring some of that.
Well, we certainly wish you nothing but the very best out there on the campaign trail. You've run a good campaign. You've run a spirited campaign, and I'm really impressed. You have been all over the state, and a lot of people don't realize how big of a state Tennessee is until you get on Interstate 40, and you're like, sweet mercy, this is a lot of ground to cover. Oh, I think we lost the state representatives. I think the state's larger than some cell phone signals, but there's Monty Fritz out there on the campaign trail, and we wish him nothing but the best. Coming up, we're going to be talking to State Senator Marsha Blackburn. You know, he mentioned Alvin York, and Alvin York is one of the great Tennessee heroes. Back during World War I, Alvin York actually captured, just by himself, single-handedly, he captured 132 German prisoners. One guy.
He soloed that?
Born in Fentress County, Tennessee. And, of course, we got a state park named after him. I think a lot of roads named after him. He was one of the great, great Tennessee fighters. So
yeah, you better have a road. Yeah. Jeez.
Good guy. Grew up in rural Tennessee, so. He was a fighter. All right, we've got to take a break there. And again, I know that the Mr. Fritz was catching a lot of heat because he said he wanted to outlaw Islam in Tennessee. And in his mind, in his estimation, and I agree with him on this actually, that Islam is in fact a political ideology. The question is, how do we deal with that? And right now, when you look at Texas and North Carolina and Michigan and, quite frankly, New York City with Zohran Mamdani, there is a major problem. The Islamists are overrunning towns and communities in those states. And the good people of Tennessee said, you know, we don't want that here. And I will give credit to Mr. Fritz. He's the only candidate out there that's actually addressing this issue head on. And this is something that every governor in every state is going to have to deal with, the rise of Islam in America. All right, 901-260-5926. If you're listening to us across the great state of Tennessee, go and vote. You need to get out and do your duty as a citizen. This segment of the program, by the way, brought to you by our good friends at Newsmax. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump. They're switching to Newsmax, watching great shows, Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. So if you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. You're going to get all of Trump's events live. You're going to get some great documentaries, Melania Trump, Mike Huckabee, Charlie Kirk. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. It is free. NewsmaxPlus.com.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at Monday.com.
All right, it is election day in Tennessee. Get off your blessed assurance and vote your values, ladies and gentlemen. What else can I tell you to do? Dylan, have you voted yet? I know you haven't. Get out and vote.
I'm going to vote after work.
Right, you better.
Yeah.
All right. We know Ian can't vote yet, so he'll have to vote Democrat.
He's still a youngin'. Yeah. Oh, Democrat. Well, he can do that.
If you're dead or underage, for some reason, they always end up on the Democrat side
free
of the ledger.
Game there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Texas. Edwin, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Edwin. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I've listened to you quite often, and I'm down here in Galveston County, south of Houston. And I'm a retired attorney. I style myself as a constitutional law attorney nowadays. Anyway, the point is, as to all these candidates that are coming out and talking about different forms of government, the Constitution already guarantees in Article 4, Section 4, a Republican form of government. Okay, so what does that mean? How do we implement that? Well, here in the state of Texas, you have to register your candidacy and pay your fees to the Secretary of State.
Okay.
So all candidates, not after you become elected, but all candidates must swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, and particularly to Article 4, Section 4, which is a guarantee of a Republican form of government, which means that they cannot espouse any other form of government, to include democracy, Islamism, socialism, communism, fascism, Nazism, monarchism, anything. They can only espouse a Republican form of government as guaranteed in the Constitution, and it needs to have in there in the legislation upon penalty of perjury or fraud.
Yeah, Edwin, look, the reality here is, and you're the constitutional expert here in the conversation, seems to me when you look at Islam, you have to ask these candidates, you know, are they following the tenets of Sharia law? That is contrary to the United States Constitution. And I guarantee, if you're a true Muslim, you are following Sharia.
Exactly right, sir. But the point is, it is antithetical to a Republican form of government. Therefore, if the legislation is passed and state to state, stating that you can only espouse a Republican form of government as guaranteed in the Constitution, it gets rid of everything.
Yeah. You think that's going to happen?
Well, I mean, it has to be. Of course, it has to be pushed for. As you well know, the Constitution is a parchment guarantee unless you enforce the provisions of the Constitution.
Mm. It's a fair point you raise, Edwin. And again, it goes back to, how serious are the Republicans in Congress? How serious are Republicans across the country when it comes to actually securing our founding documents and our way of life? Because that is what is under attack right now. In Michigan, this is insane and absurd what's happening up there. But that's the reality of it when you do not stand up and you fight for your freedoms. Edwin, I got to run. It is a great thought. Beautiful area, Galveston County. Saw a documentary about the big hurricane that hit there. Wow, the turn of the last century. And just an amazing, amazing story, an amazing comeback story as well. All right, hang tight, folks. Coming up, we've got Senator Marsha Blackburn going to join us. Angie Wong, who is a Miami Republican committeewoman. She's going to weigh in on the Michigan race. We're also following breaking news out of our nation's capital with Dr. Fauci and the contempt of Congress vote. Steve Gill's going to be here along with Caleb Park, the journalist, good friend of this program, host of The Good Report with Caleb Park. And ladies and gentlemen, a reminder as we go to break, be sure to head over to toddstearns.com for all sorts of great free items for you, including our free podcast. If you miss any of our interviews, you can go back, listen to the entire show free of charge. You can also get our free newsletter, comes out every single morning. On that note, we have some great stories up at toddstearns.com, including one that's going to blow your mind. A New York town, Brighton, New York, has banned Christians from erecting religious displays in public. A New York town banning Christians from erecting religious displays in public. And here's the kick in the pants. If you're Muslim, you're allowed to celebrate publicly. Christians are not allowed. You got to read this exclusive story over at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. Hour two coming up.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you're doing well, wherever you might be across the fruited plain. By the way, Dylan, should we tell everybody what we're going to be doing next week? This is sort of cool. Next week, we are going to be broadcasting our show, all 3 hours, from the FedEx St. Jude PGA Championship. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm very excited. It's going to be hot, but it's very fun at the same time.
I am concerned about one thing, and I know Parker May is going to be down there, the sports director at KWAM News Radio. We're going to be doing all 3 hours of the show. I'm just concerned about one thing, Dylan.
What's that?
Do I need to talk in a golf voice for the entire show?
Oh, absolutely. Well, okay, not the entire show, but when they are, you know, when they're playing, you have to whisper.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in President Trump. Mr. President, good to have you with us. Wait just a moment. Scottie Scheffler about to putt through here on the 19th or the 18th hole. There's a 19th hole. We've got big problems.
How many holes are there?
I don't know.
We're not the experts here. Parker May's going to have to walk us through everything.
Scottie Scheffler coming up on the putting green now. If he can knock the orange ball through the windmill and across the dinosaur.
They should have professional putt-putt. They really should.
Would that not be
and
great?
And it all be like PGA guys?
I would be all over that. You know, what about the Ocho? Why don't they do that on the Ocho? They've got sorts of other sports.
I don't see why not.
There's got to be. You cannot tell me we don't have a professional putt-putt golf league.
I'm sure that America. We do. On vacation, like this past week, I watched the professional, what's it called? We throw the bag into the cornhole.
Cornhole.
Professional cornhole championship.
Wow.
I'm like, if that's on TV, ESPN, like prime time, there's got to be putt-putt.
And we got Elvis week, so we got to figure out, we've got to do at least one show from Graceland. Yes. I think our audience, I think the good people in Bartlesville and Salem, Oregon, need to hear us broadcasting from the jungle room.
I think so. I think the whole world needs to.
Would you wear a jumpsuit, one of the Elvis jumpsuits?
Whatever you tell me to wear, I'll wear.
You got to do that. You got to.
You're the boss.
Well, we can make it. Well, Ian could be like, Ian's got sort of like Elvis hair.
Yeah. He just needs the sideburns.
He could be like skinny Elvis.
Skinny.
And then I could be, you know, we could be bloated Elvis.
Just all the phases of his life.
That's it.
Perfect.
All right. So anyway, great to have you with us. We're going to be doing some weird stuff all this week. Oh, just want to share this information. All of our Dallas listeners, August 23rd, I'll be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Our good friend, Pastor Robert Jeffress, is the senior pastor there and a part of our Golden Age tour. So we look forward to seeing all of you. We'll be signing books after the service here at First Baptist Dallas. And of course, this coming Sunday, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, then Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Well, today also Election Day, and early this morning I was invited to attend a breakfast with Senator Marsha Blackburn. She dropped by Memphis as voting is underway at this very hour, and had a chance to hear from the senator, and she made some interesting comments, and I think we're going to start seeing a shift in the conversation out on the campaign trail in many of these state elections when it comes to the rise of socialism. Here's our conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn running for governor.
All right, Senator, you said something new that I haven't heard a lot out on the campaign trail about this call that we had in 1776, and you tied in socialism and the concerns over socialism.
Yes, I said, you know, 1776, the battle cry was the British are coming, and in 2026, it is the communists are coming. When you look at what is happening across our country with these Democrat socialists, and they are actually winning some of these Democrat primaries, and they want to destroy our nation as we know it, our states as we know it. They want to destroy private property and property rights. They want to control your life 24/7, 365. Take your property. Let the government decide everything. Have one body of Congress and have them appoint the president and take away the will of the people. So I think we have to be mindful of this. It is time for Republicans to show up and vote.
And that does seem to be the issue, is getting the Republican vote out. For some reason during primaries, Republicans don't like to get out and vote. What are you hearing from the people that you've been talking to? Again, you said from Mountain City to Memphis. Yeah. What is the big issue on their minds?
Number one thing that we hear about statewide is the economy, the cost of living, wanting inflation to come down, wanting to make certain in Tennessee, we are focused on that issue and focused on jobs, jobs that are going to have growing wages, jobs that are good for today and are going to be good for our kids and our grandkids. And people will say, let's be smart about this. Let's work to grow business. Of course, in Shelby County, you've got a great example of an idea that became a company that has become a global leader, and that's FedEx. Let's focus on growing these and retaining jobs and recruiting businesses that are going to fit in to what we've got going on in Tennessee. Second issue is public safety. And I'll say this, here in West Tennessee, public safety is probably the number one issue. And the way I work to pull together the Memphis Safe Task Force, the success of that, the fact that crime has been cut in half, U.S. Attorney Mike Donovan being here today, we've seen so many successes in Memphis. The third thing we hear about is a great education, access to that for our kids, and better outcomes when it comes to their grades.
I want to go back to the Gen Z voters, and
sure,
we saw a huge number of those folks embrace the Republican Party in 2024. A lot of those same kids now are really concerned about affordability issues, and I know sometimes Republicans are like, well, get a second job if you can't afford it, but these are kids working hard, and they just can't buy that starter home. Many of them can't start their families because of the economy right now. What do you say to those young people?
Yes, and making certain that we are simplifying regulation and permitting is going to be important for helping get the cost of housing down and making housing more affordable. Likewise, getting those interest rates down on those home loans, and then, of course, growing wages and the types of jobs that are going to give them some movement, upward movement in their careers so that they have better wages and are able to afford to buy those homes. Those are considerations. And, you know, it's a local, state, and federal issue when it comes to getting that cost of housing down.
Mm. When you look at Memphis, and you mentioned the safety issue, the task force, so many people here are grateful for what you've done and what the president has done. At the same time, you know, we look at Nashville, we see the skyscrapers going up, we see the professional sports teams coming in. What can you do as governor to really help bolster Memphis's economy and stop the hemorrhaging of people leaving?
Yes, and one of the things as we worked with Memphians and heard their concerns, the crime issue was item number one, and getting that under control and knowing that that crime has been cut in half. The mayor and the police chief have been great partners in this, as has U.S. Attorney Donovan and U.S. Marshal Tyrese Miller. And that is the first step. And because that has been successful, then companies are once again beginning to look at Memphis, and people are considering moving here instead of moving out. And I talked to someone this morning that said, you know, thank you for getting the crime in Memphis under control. We're empty nesters, and we were thinking about moving a year ago, and now we've decided to stay. That's a good thing.
One final question. Your opponent in the general election, Jerry Green, from here in Memphis, she is a radical leftist. She's wanting to debate, and I know that's been a big source of an issue among the Republicans running. Do you see any circumstances that you would agree to a debate with
Jerry? You know, we're going to assess. Our focus is on today and winning today. And then we will see how is the best way for me to use my time to talk with Tennesseans, to let them know they've been heard, and to continue to build out these priorities of what they want to see done.
Fair enough. One final question. You've been able to travel across the entire state.
Yes.
What's been the best part of this experience?
Is seeing people, giving them a hug and a hello, and being able to listen to them. I love the fact that people know we are a great state. We're a great people. And what they want is to say, here is what I want for my family. Or a lot of young families that will talk to me about what they want to achieve and what they, the type of life they want to live and what's important to them. Those are the best things, because as someone who is a policy maker and shaper and implementer, what you want to do is listen to people and then hear them and take those actions that are going to help make their dreams come true.
All right. Senator, thank you very much.
You got it.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Stephen Miller, last night, man, just doing a terrific job, warning on Hannity about what's happening and the threat of communism right here in America. Cut 31, please.
That Cold War has come home. It's here in America. This is the biggest, greatest, most existential struggle this country will ever face, Sean. Because if communists get control of House seats, then Senate seats, and governor's mansions, the American dream that for 250 years our heroes bled and died for is gone. And it won't come back, because they will never let you get it back. President Trump is the only thing right now standing between the American people and that abyss.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true. Laura Ingraham just doing a terrific job last night talking about Abdul El-Sayed's big win there in Michigan and what that means to the rest of the country. Cut number 34.
Johnson beyond, who think just like he does. So it's going to take more than Dearborn Muslims and Ann Arbor liberals to beat Mike Rogers. They'll need middle class and union voters, too. And that may be a heavy lift, because Politico noted that it was Haley Stevens who appealed more to working class folks. And El-Sayed did better among affluent and college-educated voters, of course. Now, even the liberals at Slate are worried, describing the victory as a whimper, given expectations heading into the night. Despite public and private polling showing double-digit leads for El-Sayed, heading into the evening, he defeated Stevens by just 1 percentage point. So the question here is, come November, will those Haley Stevens voters really vote for the guy who's the socialist dreamboat of diversity? Are they really going to buy his attempt to pivot and his silly gym rat flex and his tight-fitting black tee?
If El-Sayed wins, I will not vote Democrat. I'll switch over, and I'll vote for a candidate with character, whoever that might be.
I'm very anxious about the socialist aspect of what Abdul and his supporters represent. I'm a liberal, but I'm not a socialist.
But most of El-Sayed's most ardent supporters are socialists, and there is no daylight between him and them. It's the party of AOC and Hassan Piker. You know, that guy who said America deserved 9/11 and that he wishes that we could be more like commie China. Yeah, the guy that appeared with El-Sayed on his last campaign stop. And unless sane Democrats nip this contagion in the bud right now, work with Republicans to defeat the DSA, they could lose their party forever.
It's not just Michigan. This is just the beginning. These are never supposed to be swing states, and they will never be swing states ever again if I have something to do with it. We will hopefully continue this movement all across the United States of America. We'll go to every single state.
All right, there you go. Just a smidge of what Ingraham was talking about. Can we please could somebody please, let's decide on the pronunciation. Is it Saeed or Syed? We've been calling him Syed, but I can go either way. It really doesn't matter to me. He's a radical Islamic extremist either way. Abdul El Syed is the guy's name. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm curious, how concerned are you about the rise of Islam and the fact that we're watching this odd fusion right now between the communist and the Islamist? And what's going to happen is they're going to merge together. They're merging together these two ideologies to destroy America. I mean, that's the end game here. And once that happens, you're going to see the Islamists rise up and completely eradicate the communist. It will be an end game scenario. You know, one of the El Sayed supporters had something to say about voters, and it is very interesting the way they're approaching all of this. Cut 33, please.
Everything is people aren't stupid. This politics of no translation is going to be the way forward.
No, for sure.
Money in your pocket, Medicare for all. No one has to decipher what the hell that means.
That and I just want people to be like.
I mean, it's really devious, but it's true. The Al Sayed supporter said voters are stupid, and the best way to win is to hide the truth. So when you say you want free health care for everybody, or you want to provide free grocery stores or free health care or free whatever, because the average voter is stupid. They don't step back and think critically about these issues. I have been stunned by the number of people, even here in Memphis, where I'm out and about, and people say, who should I vote for? I'm like, why are you asking me that question? Go do your homework. Look it up for yourself. Make those decisions for you. And a lot of people don't even realize there is an actual election. People are just, and a lot of times they just tune out. I mean, you guys, you live, eat, and breathe this. This is what you do. You're in this 24/7. The reality is there are not enough of us in this 24/7. And you've got to be, especially with these communists that are lurking about, like Abdul El Sayed. Mike Rogers, here's what I think is going to happen in Michigan. I really do believe that the Democrats in Michigan are there's going to be some crossover vote. And you're going to see a lot of Democrats who are maybe liberal or moderate, not leftist, but liberal or moderate, especially the moderates. And they're going to be voting for Mike Rogers, the Republican. I mean, that's how bad things are. And that's why you got James Carville out there. So, well, I'm just going to leave the party. Not going to vote Democrat again. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. That's James Carville. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. James Carville, what's that number? It's 901-260-5926. You sorry, Mike and the Blanks. All right, James, calm down. We'll be right back. The 70s and 80s, best music of all the generations, hands down. I know Angie Wong agrees with that. Our good friend, Miami Republican Committee Woman Angie, were you are you a big music person?
Certainly of the 70s and 80s, I was a Olivia Newton-John fan. I mean, I know you just played the Bee Gees there, but I really love that whole genre. When music was actually music, everything I'm hearing now, it's like zeros and ones done digitally. And now a lot of these artists are not even artists. They're just pretend artists that was created by AI. So my ears love the sound of instruments. I wish it would go backwards in time with music.
Oh, you and me both. So I'm a Gen Xer. So I grew up right in between, you know, the 70s and 80s. So I kind of covered, you know, late 70s into the early 80s with, you know, the launch of, you know, the rise of MTV back when it was actually, you know, they actually played music. I know the young people today, Gen Zers, may not know this, Angie, but we actually used to watch MTV and watch music videos, and that's how many of us learned to dance, was learning the dance moves on MTV.
So, Todd, I used to produce those music videos for MTV. That's how I got my career started, was making little miniature films, because I went to film school, and how you get your start is with commercial and music videos. So MTV, I was all about that. MTV just shut down like about a year or two ago. Did you see that? Like the final show went away. I was kind of sad, but kind of like, wow, that took a long time. That was a really slow death, actually. But remember the music videos? That's what sold albums. Apparently, you don't need that anymore.
No, or just remember, when I was anchoring the news out in California, I landed in Sacramento, which was the hometown of Tower Records. That's where it all started. And I remember going after my new shift on the radio station and going down and looking through the records and the albums. I just miss those days. And I love all the digital stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I like to hear the news that like vinyl is coming back now. Record stores are starting to pop back up. I miss those kinds of things.
You might see that. I mean, my daughter's generation, and she's a preteen, they're buying albums again. I think we've, gone over the top with the digital stuff, yes. But, our ears, they hear it. I hear and see the zeros and ones when I listen to music sometimes. And it's just not the same. There's no romance to it. You don't get to stare at an album cover and, like, have a thousand stories about that cover. I mean, all those days are gone now.
It's true. Dylan, turn your microphone. Dylan, our board op was a music business major at the University of Memphis. And we actually have this cool place here. We're going to talk politics in a second. We've got to talk about music right now, Angie. Dylan, what's his place? The listening room at Crosstown Concourse. You got to tell Angie about this.
Oh yeah, it's the Music Listening Lab. It's like a library for music. They have the vinyl stations and the turntable set up to where you just put on headphones, you select a vinyl and whatever side you want, and then you can just sit there and listen to it for hours on end, basically.
Oh, I need that in my life. I need that now. I wish it would have that all. Look, we're going to go back to that stage. I think the pendulum keeps swinging both ways, right? I just learned that my daughter is going to be taking a class based on classic album covers in school. Yes, I am paying for the school. And she's taking an elective about album covers. I'm like, what are the iconic album covers? I only know of the ones from the 80s, maybe the 70s.
Oh, wow,
I'm not
going to
take myself that far back. But I guess you could do an entire semester on album covers. And yes, again, I'm paying for her schooling.
I like that school she's going to. I can just imagine, we're bringing all of you guys to Memphis, Angie. We're going to make this happen. I can imagine you, Mary Walter, Jeffrey Lord, we'll get Governor Scott Walker. We'll all be in the music lab listening to vinyl records.
Bring it back. That's the best campaign I've ever seen. Honestly, you bring that campaign to your state, Todd, I will tell you, we're going to get all the extra votes, the votes that we never even thought
we
had. There's so many youth votes that would love to see that image.
Speaking about what is old being new again, communism is back. And I know Stephen Miller just really did a great job explaining the dangers to the country on Hannity last night. But when you look at what's happening in Michigan, you've got this combo platter of radical Islam and communism declaring war on our way of life. And Angie, I'm wondering what we need to do as Republicans, as conservatives, to fight back here on this.
I'm really worried about this race. I know a lot of people can say, okay, let's just throw out the word communism and socialism and scare everybody. And maybe that's the timing right now is the time to do this, because this race is going to be one of the most expensive races we've ever seen in Senate history. Already, the two candidates have spent over $80 million. And that's just the primary. Imagine what's going to happen during the general. So scaring national donors into communism, that's perfect for now. But I'll tell you what doesn't work, because I've run a statewide race in Michigan for the Secretary of State back a few cycles ago. This state will not really be bothered by these words. These are just labels being thrown at. Even with Hassan Piker coming in saying, America deserved 9/11. That was actually incredibly smart of him to say that for Michigan. I know the rest of us, we think this is the most vile thing we've ever heard anyone say. The truth of the matter is, in Michigan, that is one of the largest Muslim American communities outside of the Middle East, even. And there's a lot of favorable Muslim supporters within that state. You know, if my daughter went to that school, she's going to have Muslim friends. So that's why these messages really kind of go against what Republicans want to achieve here, which is to win for Mike Rogers in that state. But here's the problem. You have an entire generation post 9/11, 25-year anniversary coming up, who've been targeted by racism about 9/11 just because of the way they look. And a lot of these young kids, and that's who we're talking about, the young college kids in Michigan, they received the really awful end of what had happened after 9/11 with Muslim Americans being targeted. So when you go really pushing hard on anti-Muslim, which what I'm seeing a lot of in the Republican speak, that is going to energize voters in Michigan. So we got to be so, so careful with messaging. Now, again, nationwide, I see the money pouring in. I see how this can work. But just on Michigan alone, I don't want it to backfire on Republicans come November.
Yeah, there are some Democrats that were being interviewed, and I have to imagine these are outliers, but there are some Democrats who are saying, you know, they're not going to be voting or they're going to vote for Mike Rogers. But again, I don't think we can take anything for granted. You know, I know here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we have an election day today, and over the weekend they had Muslim voting day in Memphis. All of the mosques, they got buses out. They had translators to help people understand the ballots. So even in a southern state that's rock solid red, we have a large and growing Islamist population. And we are going to have to contend with that down the road.
Here's, I'm looking at some of the numbers from yesterday's primary in Michigan. This scares me a lot, Todd. Over 86% of all votes coming into the Michigan primary yesterday were absentee mail-in ballots. 86%. That's 1.3 million. Election day in-person voting, 83,000. So you're saying one in seven person voted by mail in yesterday's Michigan race. I've never seen extreme mail-in voting like this in any state. And I was trying to pull historical data from other states as well as Michigan. We've never seen anything like this high. 86% mail-in ballots. That's who voted El Said in yesterday. And we have to like look at that, because is that going to be what's going to happen in November when we go into the general? You're going to have these extreme mail-in ballots. And remember, Michigan, you have same-day registration on top of that. So you can register to vote that very day, and poll workers or, you know, the election board won't have any time to verify if this is a real registration or not, because you can do the same day. So there's a lot of concern in Michigan. One last thing I'm going to add about Michigan is that Republicans haven't won Michigan in the U.S. Senate since the 1990s, way back before the Bee Gees album, right? We are talking like Vanilla Ice time now. We haven't won in that state. So I worry about this race more than anything, more than Texas, more than Maine, because for us to flip the seat, it's going to take such an effort. And I know Trump won twice, but can he pull off a third win for the U.S. Senate seat?
It's a great question. Angie Wong joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Angie, I don't know if you've been following Burritogate. It seems to be all the rage. I know the vice president weighing in on the cost of burritos and whether or not they cost $20. The issue is not the cost of the burrito. I think that we're missing out here on something as Republicans. We had so many young people voting in 2024. We want to make sure those kids continue to vote Republican, and they're trying to tell us things are hard out there. Things are not affordable for them. You know, they are not being able to start off their lives like their parents did. What is the answer here? Because, you know, you've got one side that's saying, you know, go get a job or go get a second job, and other people are sympathetic. Where do you fall on all of this?
And this is where the Democrat socialists are winning. See, we call them socialists. We label them as communists, all these bad things. But the reality is they're tapping into that nerve that is affecting all these young voters today. And some of it's self-created, but some of it is very, very real. I mean, we got to break down the word affordability and what that actually means. Yeah. A lot of people in their 20s can't buy into the first-time home market. They can't even rent, because in order to rent, you got to show a huge income. You got to be able to buy renter's insurance. And you have to have all these checklist requirements that most young people just don't have. So they're angry. They're starting off life already angry. And they're starting off life with a lot of, whether it's credit card debt or school debt. So these are real things that I think Republicans can actually take on as policies. Well, I don't know why we don't. You know, we can't keep going to TPUSA and saying, you figure it out, you give us the answer. Because being Christian and being, you know, family first and having lots of babies, that's not always going to be the right messaging to young voters. So we have to find better messaging for young voters if we're going to bring and keep them since 2024. That's what I see, and I see that DSA is winning all over the place because they're tapping into the affordability and on a real level that they understand. And we're not doing that. We're just saying, believe in God, believe in family. Not enough, guys. Not for the cities.
Not at all. All right, Angie, we're going to have to leave it there. You are now, you have moved up in our rankings as among the coolest of our pundits here. How did I not know this great nugget about you? DJ Angie Wong, we're going to have you spinning some tunes next time you come back on.
Oh, can I please nominate a song next time? I would love to do that. I'll bring my albums to you.
So let me tell you what we do on Fridays. You're going to love this, Angie. We actually invite our listeners during the week to recommend bumper music. And we actually go into the library, the music library, and we'll play that music on Friday. So we will do that. So you just have to let Hella know what tune you want us to play.
You're not going to like my music. I like boy bands from the 80s. Not going to like my stuff.
No, make it. No.
I do. Love him. I still love him. New Kids on the Block forever.
Okay, you just went down a few notches. All right, Angie Wong, great hearing from you, my friend.
All right, thank you so much,
All right,
Todd.
Take care. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, what is going on here? Sounds like a frog is having some sort of a medical condition.
Todd, I can't stop laughing.
What was that? Is that a song?
This is a real song.
Is that from Angie Wong?
No, this is not from Angie Wong. This is a real song that someone made.
I feel like somebody's got the Hershey squirts going on here.
Sounds like that a little bit.
Frog pooping all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, explain this context here?
Please.
This is a very Gen Z thing that happened not even a year ago. People started making these videos on TikTok of their, like, pugs walking out of, like, the house.
Oh, the dogs.
You know how, like, pugs look? They look a little fat, a little awkward.
Like like the woke woman, yeah.
Yeah, the woke woman.
The libtards.
They just kind of wobble around.
Mm-hmm.
That they, like, put that video to this song, and it just kind of sounds like they're just glorping. The song is literally called Gloopin'.
Gloopin'?
Yeah.
So Gloopin'.
Gloopin'.
All right.
It's a real thing. It's real dumb.
All right. Let's go to North Carolina, WTKF. Al joining us. Al, have you ever been glooping before?
Never heard of it, my friend. I listen to bluegrass.
Oh, well, bluegrass. Yeah. I'm fairly certain you have not heard of glooping.
No, sir.
What's going on, Al?
I do listen to gospel and outlaw bluegrass, but bluegrass.
All right, good for you. I like your style.
But, I've been hearing the last couple of days about these $20 burritos, and I want to clear it up something for you. I go to Chipotle kind of often, but I don't buy the burritos. I find their food's good, but incredibly too salty for me. I eat very healthy.
Mm.
I pick up a couple of sides, like some guacamole or some of the corn salsa,
oh,
or maybe a little like different kind of a meat, and I take it home and I make my own burrito.
Okay.
They got really good tortillas. Their tortillas are above and beyond anybody's tortillas around here, unlike it. They're really good. But, if you order a burrito there, they're about $12 or so, like you said. But the difference is, once you add in the extra meat, extra this, extra that, then there's $17, $18, $21, I've seen. And they are literally the size of a small football. I mean, I see these burritos thrown out of them. It would take, now, back in the day, I used to be 387 pounds. I would have been in love with something like this. But now, these days, that would literally last me three meals. So if you break that $20 down into three meals, it's really not so bad. It's just, and how much of that does somebody throw away in the end? How much sits over left in the refrigerator because they didn't finish it off?
You know, Al, I also wonder, and again, you're looking at Chipotle, which is a little bit different business model because they don't have any microwaves. Everything is cooked fresh that day. You have to factor in things like this mandatory minimum wage that a lot of states have. And ultimately, you know, these restaurants, I'm surprised that they, you know, that they're not $20 as the starting point. So still, you're getting a pretty good deal for some fresh food there at Chipotle.
No, it's really not bad. I mean, I really enjoy Chipotle. I just, for me, with the way I eat super healthy. It's just, I can taste the salt. It's like salt with burrito. Yeah, they put too much in. If I make the whole thing, I will literally swell up and hold about 8 pounds of water.
Oh, geez, hello. That's crazy. How much weight did you end up losing there, Al?
At one point, I had lost, when I first started, I went down 212 pounds in 2 years.
Wow. You're half the man you used to be, just about. Wow. Al, we're going to have to skedaddle because we're up against the clock here, but it's good advice. And, you know, that is true. I wonder why they do that. I thought about that, and I think it's to get you to order more drinks, right? So the saltier the food, the more you want to drink. So maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. Anyway, good for you, Al. Good to hear you're doing healthy and you're doing well. So, yes, Burrito Gate continues. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump has a thought about women's basketball, and it's incredibly inappropriate. We're going to play it for you coming up next. Gloop it.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us wherever you may be across America. And if you are in Tennessee, get off your blessed assurance and get out to the polls and go and vote. Election day and voting underway. Polls close at 7 o'clock tonight. Want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good buddy Steve Gill in Nashville. Steve, all right, what do you say? What's going to happen? Give us you know everything in the state, so give us your predictions.
Yeah, if I made predictions today and knew everything, I'd be picking the lottery numbers and getting a big win. I think the question today really is, how much time shifting are we seeing with early voting? You know, in the first few years that you had early voting, you had still most people voting on election day, and people would look at the early voting and try to, you know, articulate and calculate what that was going to mean in terms of the total vote numbers. It's become more difficult because more and more people are voting early, which means there may not be as big a turnout on election day. So I don't think it's really possible to predict what the total numbers will be. You know, in some parts of the state, you have very contested county sheriff race, county mayor races, other local races that are having their general election today, while the Republican and Democrat primaries are today. Some of those rural counties in particular, that may be driving some voter turnout that we're not necessarily seeing in some of the suburban or urban areas. So I think it's still a wild guess as to what the voter turnout will be. And even as I kind of call around the state right now, I'm getting a mixed bag on turnout in various counties across the state.
It's just super hot here. I mean, the weather is fine otherwise, but it's incredibly hot. So it's just really a matter of who's going to get out there and who's more motivated. And I know in the western part of the state, especially in the Memphis area, the black churches have really done a remarkable job getting out the vote for the Democrat candidates. They have mobilized the pastors and the ministers, the Muslim community as well, and all of that vote is going for the Democrats. But again, how does that resonate statewide? Will it impact that 9th congressional district race at all?
I think it could, because if you have the turnout that is not turning out for the Republican area in kind of the East Shelby County area that affects that 9th district, then it could have a big impact on that one. You know, I think the other thing is our primary in Tennessee is relatively late. Most of the other states have now completed their primary process. They have a little bit longer time period for candidates who battle it out, who, you know, tear each other apart, to come back together between the primary and November. Tennessee is a relatively short spread. We've only got about 80-something days. Early voting starts even earlier than that again in Tennessee. So there's not much of a respite between the brutal primary battles and the general election battle, where Republicans have to come back together and get that vote turned out again. The other thing is that when our primary comes, you know, this week, you got a lot of people who are trying to squeeze in one last vacation with the kids before school starts. I've got a lot of friends who are literally dropping their sons and daughters off at college this week. So they're not available. If they didn't vote early, they push that back. All of a sudden, they're out of town, dropping off a son or daughter at college somewhere. So, you know, our timing is not the best in terms of getting good voter turnout. And although you've had some of these congressional races, you mentioned the 9th, we have the 6th congressional district where John Rose is vacating his seat to run for governor. You have Andy Ogles, who is running for re-election against the former commissioner of agriculture, Charlie Hatcher, who's been endorsed by the former governor Haslam and the current governor Lee. Those races have been hotly contested, but most of the other congressional battles across the state, David Kustoff, for example, in West Tennessee, aren't particularly contested. You don't have a contest for Senator Bill Hagerty, who's running for re-election. So again, when you look at the patchwork quilt across the state, it's kind of hard to predict what local races, what congressional races are going to push turnout, right, how that might affect the governor's race.
Okay. I want to move on to other stories. President Trump weighing in on this WNBA controversy, and he was asked his opinion about what's going on with the controversy surrounding transgender players. I know Clay Travis wants to launch an all transgender team called the Nashville Balls. And he also wants to, I think he's got a $10 million bet, Steve Gill, on whether or not a boys basketball team would be able to defeat a WNBA team.
Yeah, he's challenged the WNBA team Lynx, I think they're out of Las Vegas, to a $10 million payoff if their team can beat his selection of a state boys basketball championship, high school boys, that he'll pick from somewhere in the country. He's putting up $10 million. You win, ladies, you get $10 million to split between yourselves. And I don't know if he's going to pay the high school boys, their coaches, and the managers the $10 million if they win. They ought to be able to get something if they prevail, particularly under this era of NIL. It is absolutely ridiculous that the WNBA is ignoring the W in their name. Women's, you know, is the key. And they're letting these transgender men come in. They're defending the whole trans idea of men born as men competing with women. Todd, I played basketball at the University of Tennessee a long time ago. But when I finished my time, I was the men's practice coach for Coach Pat Summitt for the Lady Vols. And we had very strict rules. They weren't supposed to jump and block shots. The guys weren't supposed to really jump and pull down rebounds because the women's game was not elevated. And we had very tight restrictions on what we were to do because we're there to make the women better, not to show how good we could play basketball. I will say that I was fortunate to have played for the men's team at Tennessee instead of for Pat Summitt because I wasn't man enough to have played for Coach Pat Summitt.
That's saying something right there. Steve Gill on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Here is the president when he was asked about coaching in the WNBA.
And I'll tell you what, if I were ever, I'd be the greatest women's basketball coach in history. Because I don't like LeBron James. I like Michael Jordan much better. But I'd go up to LeBron James. It doesn't matter. I'd say, LeBron, did you ever have any desire to be a woman? because what I'd love you to do is star on my team that I'm building up. I will have the greatest team in history. They'll never lose. Nobody will come within 70 points of this team. Now, we have to change that, and we have to make it okay to talk about it. You know, the young lady I was talking about is afraid to talk about it. She's shunned and she's canceled when she talks about it. This is crazy.
I mean, the whole thing is crazy, Steve. And again, these culture wars, they continue to rage on, which tells me that we still have a lot of work to do to secure the president's agenda on those issues.
Well, and I think Clay Travis's team should have walk-up music, you know, when they walk out like you do with baseball players walking up for their time at bat. It ought to be Shania Twain's "Man, I Feel Like a Woman." I think the mockery that has to be directed at the WNBA, their leadership, that they can't even acknowledge that there is a significant difference between men and women in playing sports. You had the world champions, the World Cup winners, women's team a few years ago, best women in the world. They got beat by a bunch of 15-year-old boys in Dallas just on a travel team who were 14 and 15 years old, 5-2. It is not even a close call, and it is time for reality and common sense to intersect itself. And frankly, I hope that Sophie Cunningham and Caitlin Clark and the other heterosexual white women who are the stars of the WNBA, they're drawing the eyeballs, they're drawing the ticket sales. They need to leave and go to Europe and play and absolutely eviscerate the WNBA economically, which is where it was before they arrived on the scene.
Steve Gill joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. Steve, there's an interesting story out of the Washington Post. They're doing a deep dive on Vice President J.D. Vance's chicken coop. And, I mean, this is a pretty lengthy piece here, but they wanted to know whether or not it was actually legal for the vice president to install a chicken coop at the Naval Observatory, which, in fact, it is. I think that's like 70-something acres that the observatory sits on. So I think they're trying to raise the issue of, oh, you know, is the rooster waking up people? You know, is this causing some sort of a health hazard? I can't even imagine what this media would have done in the days of Teddy Roosevelt, where they pretty much had an entire farm on the front yard of the White House.
Well, if it's all hens, they're not going to be producing any eggs. I mean, it's kind of back to the whole transgender issue. Biology teaches us, you know, if you want to get milk, don't go milk the bull. Make sure you go milk the dairy cow. And those who have not learned that lesson will find out pretty quickly on a farm. Again, this is just we're seeing Trump derangement syndrome move to J.D. Vance derangement syndrome, to Marco Rubio derangement syndrome. And Todd, as we were talking the other day, you know, we said for a long time that liberals, you know, prove that liberalism is a mental disorder. And when you see the candidates they're putting up statewide in Maine, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, and now stuff like, you know, attacking the chickens at the Naval Observatory, it's clear that liberalism is a mental disorder, and they're just out to prove it to us this election season.
Steve, the Washington Post, apparently the family eats a lot of eggs, like 14 eggs a day. That's a lot of eggs. So anyway, Usha, you know, who just had the baby, they said, well, you know, there are health departments that say pregnant women should avoid handling chickens because of the risk of salmonella infection. I mean, they're going out of their way to try and find a way to criticize the vice president. Even one of the subheadings, is it legal for the vice president to actually raise chickens there at the Naval Observatory?
I suspect that the writers for the Washington Post are among those who think that chocolate milk comes from the brown cows. I mean, these are people who probably haven't, you know, spent any time on a farm anywhere in their entire life, much less their adult life. And yet they're going to try to lecture the vice president, his family, and the rest of us on agriculture policy. Their closest thing to chicken production is going to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, there you go. So for the record, yes, it is legal to raise chickens in Washington, D.C. The chicken keepers must keep some requirements or meet requirements before the city issues a permit. But there you go. The hen house does appear to be within compliance there. So yep, there you go. All right, Steve Gill, sounds like you've got a long day as the voting continues and they'll start counting those votes. We will be sure to watch out for the results at TriStarDaily.com.
We'll have some details. We'll have some analysis. And we turn immediately to, if Marsha Blackburn wins the governor's race, the next big question is, who's got next? Who will replace her in the Senate? The governor will appoint a temporary replacement to run for a 2-year balance of her term. But in the meantime, either it's Governor Lee, or does she wait until moments after she gets inaugurated and make the pick herself? So that's going to be the next big speculation. Who's got next?
All right. There you go. Steve Gill, TriStarDaily.com. All right. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Going to your calls next. You know, I do think the president does a wonderful job of showing the sheer lunacy of the WNBA, and good for you, Mr. President. You know, I am wondering, is this like a I think a lot of young people now are doing the whole chickens. Dylan, do you and the missus, y'all have chickens over in the condo?
We live in Germantown, so I don't
probably
think I'm
not
allowed to have those.
No, I don't think so. They have to be a certain breed of chicken.
I guess. If we could, then I maybe would, because I like chicken a lot.
Well, it's very, you know, there's nothing better than like a bird fresh off the farm, you know?
I guess so. I do like when they, like a fresh egg, like when I know someone that has chickens that lay the eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always really good.
Those are delicious. I am curious, though, and maybe some, there might be, we have a lot of farmers that listen to us. I am wondering, are the, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you get a chicken breast, I mean, those are big bosomed birds. So my question is, are those like, is that normal? Because when I go out to the farm, it seems to me, if the birds were really that big bosomed, they would just be top heavy and just flop right over.
They definitely put something in those chickens.
Do you see? I think so, too.
Well, because if you go to England, if you go overseas, those are small
chickens. Birds.
But yeah. They're like normal.
You're like, what?
That's what they actually look like. We just have buff chickens.
It looks like they've had, you know, they're giving the chicken implants.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on
America.
There?
American chickens.
Something's not right. Something is just not right there.
Chicken implants is really
chicken
funny.
Implants. Jeez, Alou. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. James in Arkansas. James, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
I just had a little, thing to say, you know, a bone to pick with one of your guests, you know, because she made the comment about the poor Muslims that caught some flack after 9/11. You know, I was in the military during 9/11, and I actually watched the towers fall, and I saw a lot of Muslims on TV cheering when that happened. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for Muslims, and these people that are going around voting for Muslims, y'all are idiots. Because let me tell you something, they're just using you to get in power, and once they get in power, then watch out for what happens.
No, I heard, I thought I heard what she said there, and maybe there were, maybe there were some that were sympathetic to what happened to our country on that day, but I'm with you. I saw a lot of videos coming out of places like New Jersey and the Middle East where the Muslims were celebrating in the streets as our fellow citizens were burning to death or were being buried under those towers. I hear you on that.
Or actually, as they showed on TV, Todd, people actually jumping out of windows because they had nothing else to do. And those people, and let me tell you something, I'm not talking about videos from the Middle East. I'm talking about videos from right here in this country. And I got I'm not preaching hate. I'm not saying you should hate anybody. But let me tell you something, those people don't want to come over here and be American. They don't want a Taco Bell on every corner in their country, and they want to come over here and be Muslim and bring their Sharia law with them.
I know.
You don't want to live under it.
No, you don't. No, it's true. You don't. It's a disturbing ideology. I will say that. And James, it's dangerous. and we've got to figure out a way to address this before it's too late. I just really shudder to think about what this country could look like 10, 20 years from now. I mean, it's a concern. James, thank you for calling in. You know, this is interesting. According to the Washington Post, there are political motivations. They say there are political motivations behind the flock of chickens being raised by the vice president. The Post says it's a theory that resonates with Danny Bowers, who keeps 19 chickens on suburban property in Utah County, Utah. Bowers, who uses they-them pronouns, why do they have to point that out? Why is that important to the story here? Bowers, who uses they-them pronouns, points out that some conservatives have embraced the values espoused by the trad wife influencers, many of whom raise chickens. The trad wife, that is, for those of you in Bartlesville, that would be traditional wives. The traditional wives, they have traditional values. So they're saying this is some sort of a, I don't know, is the vice president trying to signal something to conservative women by raising chickens? 901-260-5926. Maybe they're just, you know, trying to save money at the grocery store like the rest of us. I don't know. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend Caleb Park. He is a journalist and host of The Good Report with Caleb Park. Caleb, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Caleb, we've been talking about the Washington Post story about the vice president. They're doing a deep dive into the official vice presidential chicken coop, and they're saying that a lot of this may just be political because apparently a lot of folks your age are embracing chickens because of the trad wife movement. I'm wondering, first of all, do you agree with that? And second of all, do you have a flock of chickens?
Yes, Todd. I am one of the many in my generation, millennials, that is embracing this traditional lifestyle. My family got a chicken coop during COVID, and I was in charge of taking care of the flock. We started out with 12, and we are down to one right now.
What happened? So, did you kill them? What happened to them? Did they hold on? Did they fly the coop?
Yeah, there were some miracle chickens that wandered away and came back. They are free range. The eggs taste better that way, but it's time. We're ready to do what the vice president did and get some new chicks, and I think that's going to be happening next spring.
Well,
but yeah, nature took its course on some of them.
There's nothing wrong with a red-blooded American man wanting to hang out with more chicks. That's what I say.
Amen.
Amen to that. Caleb, big stories that have been on your radar. Of course, we've been following the whole Sophie Cunningham drama, the president of the United States weighing in, saying that he would actually put LeBron James in a wig if he were coaching a WNBA team. What do you make of all of this in the big culture at large?
Yeah, Todd, I as an older brother, I have two younger sisters, and growing up and watching them play sports, and I played soccer, and we had a girl on our team because our high school didn't have a girls' soccer team yet, and it was, you know, there's this very obvious advantage that males have that we have over women, and you know, I think we can laugh about like LeBronda James or, you know, just how that Frenchman that is playing against the females in France, and he's 6'3", got these huge muscles. But at the end of the day, we really, really do need to protect women and protect little girls. And I think Sophie Cunningham is doing a great example of that. I applaud her. I'm a big fan. I haven't watched any actual games, but I'm following her on social media, and I'm supporting her.
the other big story we've been following, Zach Brown. So I understand this is a great story. Zach Brown, he's giving away a cruise. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's Margaritaville at the Sea, and he surprised thousands of fans. It was a sold-out venue at Fenway Park in Boston, their 15th consecutive sold-out concert. And I don't think anybody saw this coming. You know, it was valued at $40 million. So I think every fan there was pretty excited. And it's not just one ticket. It's two tickets for each person that was there at the concert. So that's a huge deal.
That's massive. So, and they're getting a free cruise.
Yeah, that's right. I went on my first cruise. I'm in here in South Florida, and I went on my first cruise last year. It was so much fun. All-you-can-eat buffets. Obviously, this is going to be Margaritaville, so they're going to have a lot of good drinks and music and just a very relaxing time, I think. And Zach Brown Band will be performing on that boat as well. So I think, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
I just don't know about
fried chicken as well.
Yeah, see, I just don't know about all this park. I've seen the videos. You know, the people, they run out of chicken tenders in the buffet, and the next thing you know, it's like it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, all sorts of fighting and crazy stuff going down.
I think that depends on which cruise line you're on there, Todd. But I know the videos you're talking about, and that would concern me too. I think they'll be safe on this one.
All right. I just want to make sure that, you know, you're not sitting poolside. The next thing you know, you're surrounded by all these, you know, 400-pound women digging thongs out of their buttocks, looking like a bunch of beached seals over there in San Francisco.
Well, that certainly might be the case, but if it's free, you know, what do they have to lose?
Oh, fair. You know, you can't argue with free, right? It is, you know, you get a little salmonella,
but
you know
what? It's for me.
It was a free cruise. There you go. Caleb Park, host of The Good Report with Caleb Park, and the website, Caleb with a C, Caleb Park with an E, .com, CalebPark.com. Can we talk about this this national anthem? Martha, I don't want to subject, you know what? Do we have to subject our listeners to it again? I don't. Yeah, I guess we have to. This is the national anthem that was played at the very first Women's Pro Baseball League game. Martha Reeves, world famous musician from years ago, here's what it sounded like.
Oh, say, can you see?
Okay, that's enough. wow. It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. You know, the first time I heard that, I was like, are we being punked? Like, is Ashton Kutcher going to run out? And then, Todd, you saw that TMZ report, right? The video that they released, that they actually rehearsed this. And she told the backup singer, she's like, I don't need these backup singers. So I think she might have taken the title from Roseanne Barr years ago. But the thing with Roseanne Barr was, you knew she was a comedian. With Martha Reeves, you know, she's this, you know, she's got this storied career. So I don't think anybody expected that. But we are talking about the Professional Baseball Women's League now. So no press is bad press for them, I think.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons. All the wrong reasons. This story, and I'm curious to hear from all of our great North Carolina listeners, the headline from Fox News, Miss North Carolina, USA, loses crown after organizer condemns racism, homophobia, and transphobia. So this is not good, but apparently the Brittany Bolton House was stripped of her title. They took her crown away for some things that she wrote, what, many years ago. I think this goes all the way back to 2017. And she is, what is the nationality of? She is a Honduran-Mexican model, and who she also encouraged people to vote for President Trump. But apparently, nearly a decade ago, she used the N-word on social media. Caleb, I don't know how many times I have to tell the young people of America, you got to be careful what you put on social media because it will come back to haunt you.
Yeah, you're right, Todd. You know, it is really sad because we're growing up with a generation, you know, my generation, we started on social media. Now this generation, as infants, they're on social media, you know, as kids. And so people do have to be really, really careful outside of the mental health tolls that it takes, but that could jeopardize titles, positions that you get. And if you're not your own boss, you're at the jeopardy of somebody else. And so I think, you know, this is a perfect example of that. And even though she was apologetic, they still stripped the title away from her and the crown from her. Pretty sad.
Yeah, well, it is. And again, I think the interesting part of this is she is actually a minority. So there you go. So,
is she qualified to say the word? Is that
no? You know? No. Only rap artists or black people can use that word. So.
So much for free speech on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I had to look it up. I'm like, Nabisco? What's wrong with the N-word? What's going on there? I don't understand that. Anyway, it's there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a new Miss North Carolina USA. All right, Caleb Park, what you got cooking over at the website? What are people going to see over there?
Yeah, Todd. Well, I love the stories that you cover every day. And over at CalebPark.com, we're covering a lot of faith stories and trying to encourage people with some good news, get, you know, the stories that you don't often see in the mainstream media and be able to share some of those patriotic stories as well. And we'll be highlighting those on my podcast, The Good Report. And I'm looking forward to interviewing you soon about the new book. Congratulations on that, The Golden Age. We're excited to flip the script and I'll be able to ask you some questions. So hopefully you guys will be able to tune into that and hoping to share some stuff, you know, that you don't always get to hear and that can be kind of negative, but hopefully you'll be lifted up if you follow me on social media, have some fun and share some good news.
It's going to be a lot of fun. CalebPark.com, ladies and gentlemen, go and follow him. Follow him on all of his social media feeds are off the charts. Also, be sure to follow Caleb on Instagram as well. All right, Caleb, we look forward to having you on weekly to talk about crazy culture war stories. Caleb Park, everybody. Thanks, Caleb.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. 901-260-5926. You folks in North Carolina, do you believe that the right decision was made here to strip this young woman of her? By the way, she is also the first married woman and the first woman of Honduran descent to win the Miss North Carolina USA title. She was from Duplin County, North Carolina. She's a native of that county. Do you think they made the right decision here based on something she did? Well, more than a decade ago. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. I mean, I feel bad for these kids. You know, they're going and they do stupid stuff because they're kids. Right. And many of them, and this was back in the mid 2000s when you had the kids and they were beginning to post on Instagram and TikTok. And, how many times did white kids, especially, they would go to a rap concert and they'd be caught singing along with the lyrics of their, you know, of their favorite rapper or hip hop artist. And the next thing you know, they're dropping the N-word because it's in the lyrics, and all of a sudden they have had their lives destroyed. And it's just really shocking to me. There are people in America who believe saying the N-word is worse than murdering somebody. And they believe that is a death sentence to anybody who utters that word. If you are a white person, and I think what's interesting here about this North Carolina situation is Miss North Carolina USA said these things. I guess she had to be a teenager. She can't be that. She can't be that old. We'll try to find her age here. They don't really share all that information. But again, she herself is a minority. But again, only black people are allowed to use the most awful, disgusting word, I guess, created by mankind. That's That's the them's the rules, as they say. And you're better off robbing a liquor store than you are uttering that word. I'm just saying. It's, you know, people will forgive you for that. It is what it is. 901-260-5926. Scott in Pennsylvania. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to ask your opinion on something. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know why a country that was founded upon the one true God is more tolerant of Muslims than Christians.
What do you mean by that?
Biblical prophecy?
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Scott?
Well, what I mean is, like, it seems like, you know, if you want to go talk about Jesus, you know, you get bad press, you get bad things, you know, and if you want to be Muslim, then, you know, it's, like, very accepted.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. I think that, you know, there is, you know, it's sort of like the... It's sort of like the religion du jour, you know, that it's vogue to embrace Islam. I think a lot of it is fear, though. I think a lot of people are afraid of speaking out because they've seen what happens when you do speak out against Islam. You are targeted. Many times you are, you know, you could be killed. You could be seriously injured. You could find yourself blown up. So I think a lot of it is based on fear. You know, they know that Christians and Jews, we cherish life, and the Islamists, they have no problem blowing people up in the name of their so-called religion of peace.
Correct. And, you know, even our monetary system, you know, our coins and our money, you know, says in God we trust, not in Allah we trust.
Well, so far, that's what it says. Give it a few years, Scott. You never know. Scott, thank you for that call, and thank you for listening to us and watching us on our YouTube channel. And we want to say hello to all of the folks watching us on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, all of our various video platforms as well. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Dave, listening to us on KWAM. Dave, I hope you voted.
I sure did, and I want to say you swayed my vote from your candidate to Fritz.
To Monty, so you voted for Monty Fritz?
Yeah, because I got to listen to him. You know, he had some good points and his Christianity and his constitutional beliefs, and I was going to vote Blackburn, but when sealed the vote when I listened to him when he was on your show.
Well, you see, Dave, that's and you just proved the point there, because I did vote for Marsha Blackburn. She was my candidate, but we also wanted to provide a fair and balanced platform where all the candidates could come on, and I'm glad you were able to make that decision for yourself. Good for you, sir.
Yeah, but that's not really why I called. So now you was talking about white people can't say the N-word and stuff like that. Well, having gone to CETA schools many, many, many years ago where it was mostly black. It's true and not true. If you're like an Eminem or something like that, you know, if you a white guy in a racial relationship and you're hanging with all the black, you know, like your friends are all black or whatever,
yeah,
they can say that word with no problem. It's the white, plain white folks, you know, the regular white folks. Like,
so the plain M&Ms is, I'm trying to follow this.
Plain M&Ms. Okay. Yeah, that's it. The plain M&Ms. Yeah, that's the one that can't. It's how you say it. You know what I mean? Like you know, it's really.
Oh, I don't think so, Dave. I don't think so. I don't think that's the way that works, my friend. No. I hear what you're saying, but I think, in theory, in classroom theory, yeah. But in reality, if you're walking down like Orange Mound, I don't think that's going to go the way you think it might go.
No, wow. Why not? Like if you like the average, you know, guy. But seriously, like if you're in the culture, you're a white guy in that culture, and you're wearing the clothes like that, and your favorite music is the rap music, and all your friends are black. I promise you can say that to all each right. other, like they see it.
Okay.
Other.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm gonna leave. We gotta leave it there, Dave. I think I'm just gonna play it safe and go with glooping. How's that? I'm just gonna gloop my way through life. All right, unless you're gluten-free, and, well, that's a story for another day. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern. Go vote, Tennessee. Be good, America.